and welcome to my hearth. So, over the last few episodes, we've been exploring the Odyssey. And I suppose that immediately sets up the question. So, what is an Odyssey, and why is it so important? Let's divide it up into its intrinsic and important parts. Most importantly, it's a story with a hero. Now, obviously, we can always identify a hero because of their behaviour. In more modern storytelling, of course, it can be an anti-hero, and we'll go into that in a later episode. The hero is on some kind of journey. Now, obviously, in its purest form, that's going to be a real physical journey, a journey taking you somewhere. In the original, of course, Odysseus is trying to get home, and so therefore a pure Odyssey will be about someone trying to get home. I'm sure you can already think of examples of that. However, on the journey, the hero faces obstacles, and his interacting with these obstacles changes him in some way. So an Odyssey involves the hero going on a journey that changes him. Bearing in mind that the original is Greek, he can be changed in a variety of ways. He could be changed physically, he could be changed spiritually, and his soul could be changed, so his emotions and his intellect could be changed. Or, of course, any combination of those. Any story that is concentrated in these ideas is often just called the hero's journey, and it's formed the basis of so many stories in both ancient and modern times. The next element is, of course, who he goes on the journey with. Now, it's very clear in the original Odyssey who his crew are, because they are a literal ship's crew. And there are other Greek stories which do that, famously Jason and the Argonauts. The crew, as it were, in inverted commas, are just the group of people that are around the hero and go with him on the journey. Part of the Odyssey is how he reacts with his crew. I like to give examples of unusual combinations of hero and crew. I suppose, again, in modern times, in televisual terms, the detective story has become very important with this. You have your lead investigator, but his subordinates become his crew, and they fulfil various functions. Are they his friends and just purely exist to support him? Are they troubled and so cause problems for him? Are they even his enemies? And that becomes very important the more complex the Odyssey becomes. The modern television producer Jerry Bruckheimer is very keen on stories which have this complexity. His whole trilogy of stories set in Chicago, Chicago Fire, which is obviously set in the fire brigade, Chicago Med, which is set in a hospital, and Chicago PD, which is set in the police, all have this team storytelling where various protagonists become the hero of certain stories and are supported or face obstructions from the other members of their team. It gets even more complicated in the Bruckheimer universe, because obviously the fire brigade can visit a hospital, or there can be an incident where the police have to get involved. And so the three Bruckheimer universes, as it were, interact with each other. They are great examples of crews, or team storytelling, but they're not pure odysseys because obviously they're not going on journeys. They go on individual incidents, but they're not eventually travelling somewhere. Again, the hero can start the story with his crew and see them all the way through with it. Or he can set off and pick up his crew as he goes along. The Pilgrim's Progress is a great example of this. Pilgrim is leaving the City of Destruction and heading towards the Holy City, into Zion. Although he is essentially doing the journey on his own, he meets various people on the way and some of them go with him. The hero, having a crew, allows him to talk to people about the journey itself. He can use the crew to reflect on what's going on and also help him to clarify what he's thinking about the journey. The crew can also question the hero about his decisions. A great classic example of this would be something like the original version of Star Trek, where Captain Kirk is questioned by the crew about any decisions that he makes. Star Trek is, of course, a perfect odyssey because it's a starship. It has a crew. It has a captain. It is an odyssey. Now, where they are going changes all the time, but they're still on the journey, and the journey changes them. In Star Trek, the emotional connection between the captain and the crew is very, very important. He cares about his crew. They become a family. Remember, in the original Odyssey, Odysseus is away from his own family for 20 years. His crew has become his family, with all the complex interactions between them. They have rows about what is going on, just as they do in Star Trek. They are allowed to quarrel and disagree, but eventually the crew will stand behind the captain, whatever, and in fact in certain cases members of the crew will sacrifice themselves for the captain. The captain becomes the most important member of the crew. In the original Odyssey, of course, they're travelling in a ship. And in Star Trek, of course, they're travelling in a spaceship. But that ship has its own character and becomes very important. Why? Simply because it is the ship that is allowing the hero and the crew to travel to their ultimate destination, which in a lot of cases is going to be home. If the ship is under threat, then the journey is under threat. And in fact, if something happens to the ship, then the crew itself could be destroyed. I'm not going to go into the deep psychological meanings of everything, but I'd like you to have a little think that they're trying to get home, and in the process of getting home, the ship becomes their temporary home. So that's why it's so important. The fact that the captain and the crew are all travelling in the same ship also gives them a shared experience of the journey. Stories can get very tense when the captain and the crew are separated for some reason. They are no longer in the security or the sanctity of the ship. Any betrayal of the crew by another member of the crew also becomes a big thing because it is violating the sanctity of the ship. Any protection of the ship performed by another member of the crew also gives that member of the crew a special status. They become a hero. Stories set in wars will very often contain a hero's journey, and again, there's going to be very heroic acts and deeds done by other members of the crew, either to save, as we said, the hero himself, or the ship. I hope you're beginning to see just how many stories have got these elements of the Odyssey in them, and that's what makes them so powerful. Now, obviously, if there is a hero, there's likely to be a villain. In the original Odyssey, of course, it's not just the people that Odysseus and his team meet on the journey, it's the external forces of the gods who are against them. Any story with a spiritual or supernatural element in it is going to resonate with people in a very elemental way. It becomes a fight between good and evil. And that, of course, can also become a fight between human and aliens, etc. The hero on his journey, when they meet somebody, you also have to ascertain, is that going to be a friend or a foe? And the hero tends not to trust them. Disguise, secrecy and betrayal become a very strong part of the storytelling. The main villain in the original, Poseidon, is so powerful because they're actually travelling in his kingdom. I'm obviously going to mention a lot in this series of podcasts the main stories that have been so important in the 20th century. Obviously, Tolkien's stories of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, and also the Harry Potter stories, which are so popular in modern culture. But I'm going to finish this particular podcast, which is about what is an Odyssey, with looking at a modern Odyssey, which has become almost iconic in modern storytelling, and that's The Wizard of Oz. Is The Wizard of Oz an Odyssey? Well, let's consider it. Does it have a hero? Yes, in this case, a heroine. I know all the way through this particular podcast I've been talking about heroes in the masculine. But of course, as the Odyssey developed, you're going to get more female protagonists. Alice in Wonderland is on an Odyssey in the way that she travels through Wonderland and through the other kingdom of the other side of the mirror. Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz is also very much in the level of the hero of a Odyssey because she is trying to get hope. Now let's consider The Wizard of Oz from a purely Greek perspective. When we consider the characters that she meets the Scarecrow and the Tin Man and the Lion. They are going to represent the Greek virtues of the body, if I only had courage. The mind, if I only had a brain, and the emotions, if I only had a heart. They are travelling to meet a wizard who they feel can get them home. Well, there's your supernatural element. Now, the fact that he isn't really a wizard is one of the great qualities of the story. However, the person who is against them, the Wicked Witch of the West, there again is your spiritual quality. So Dorothy has her objective and her crew, and she's undergoing change by what goes on in the story. She realises that in the end, there is no place like home. That's where she needs to be. She has thought that somewhere over the rainbow, as it were, is going to be more interesting than where she actually lives. But the journey of going there makes her realise that what she really has is back at home. The visual journey of the film is particularly strong because we literally travel from black and white to Technicolor, back to black and white. That is a visual symbol of the journey that she undertakes, and as such becomes iconography. And we'll talk more about iconography in the next episode.